Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey everybody, welcome. Thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I am Zach Riddle, here with Laura Heck. Today is one of those episodes where we talk about something that happens in my office quite a bit, which is couples may come in and they'll say, we need help with communication. And, you know, I don't really know what that means. I had a couple once that where she was deaf and he was blind. They had trouble with communication. Mostly in the relationships that I'm dealing with, people just have trouble asking for what they want. Today, we talk a little bit about criticism. We talk about complaining. We talk about how to get to the heart of the matter with some communication tips. Yeah, I hope you'll enjoy it. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Where are you going on vacation?
I am going to the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Not Atlantic City. It's near Atlantic City. It's Ocean City, New Jersey.
Is Atlantic Rebecca, City the, what do you call it? The Vegas of the East Coast?
Yeah, I mean, sure. They would love to think of themselves as the Vegas of the East Coast.
Okay.
It's more like a big strip mall of casinos, but...
So yes, it is.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Now, Rebecca grew up going there with her family for, you know, her whole kind of young life. And now we're all going back. There's like, I don't know, 25 people that are going back for this sort of pseudo reunion.
Family reunion on her side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. That's great.
I wanted to let people know though, by the time you listen to this podcast, I'll be back. So if you're like thinking about celebrity stalking or trying to find me,
trying to break it, or
don't
go
to Ocean City after you hear this podcast, because I won't be there. But if you're there 2 or 3 weeks ago, you might see me on the boardwalk and I'll be happy to take a picture, sign an autograph.
Wow. That's really nice. Do you know, I had a fun experience. I'm going to give a shout out because this was so great. A gal called me and she said, I want to hire you, Laura. And I said, that's neat. And, and she said, anyway, we're chatting. And she said, ever since I met you, I've been listening to the podcast and now I know everything about you. Uh-huh. And so then at some point I said, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. So I'll be sure to send you, you know, my quote or whatever, my invoice before I go. And she said, oh yeah, you're going to take the Sprinter van. And I had the moment I was like, well, that's real creepy. And she said, I know, yeah. But I just thought it was really funny because it is that experience. We talked about it, right? Like people know about our lives and we don't know anything about their life. And
totally,
that's fine. It's fine by me.
I got a couple of emails last week from people who listened and I was like, geez, wheeze. One of them was like, hey, you know how you said, if I asked you about the study that you found on gratitude and cortisol, like, could you send that to me? I was like, Mother, father, I don't now have Mother, to go father. Find it. Yes, they did say I would send it to you. So I will eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe I already have by the time you listen to this podcast, because maybe I have time in Ocean City to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to actually just go on vacation.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Just go on vacation because we're not doing anything next week together.
I've done something I've never done before, which is scratch my entire calendar. I literally have nothing on my calendar next week.
You've never done that before?
No. Even when I go like to Cabo or something, I can see, I'll see clients online.
You do. I know that about you because you have... And then we'll have a call.
But I'm also not writing anything. I'm not planning anything. We turned in our other project, which is...
You're just going to be present.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just going to be there and reading books for pleasure. I'm
good.
Excited about it.
I need a new book for pleasure. If anybody out there has a book for pleasure, because
I have
two books right now. I have Atomic Habits that I'm reading because I lead a... You've never joined before.
I've been there one time.
Oh, you were there one time, but I lead a book club for other therapists. And just to check on me. I appreciate that. We're reading Atomic Habits. And then the next one is Body Keeps the Score. Have you heard that about that book?
Oh, of course I've heard that. You heard of that from me. Don't even start.
Don't even start.
It's fine. You can. I'm not even going to do this with you right now.
So I'm getting ready to go on vacation as well.
But you're always on vacation. Literally, like, it's like, oh, where's Laura? It's like, that's what we're going to play. We're just going to play, where's Laura this week on the podcast? Like, so you're like on perpetual vacation. I go like once, maybe twice a year to somewhere that just is not.
Isn't this home. Place.
But of course, I've been moaning about the weather for 6 months.
Yeah.
And yesterday the sun came out. It's like gorgeous. Yeah. Pristine.
It hit 65 in Seattle. Congratulations.
And then I'm going to get we hit 75, but I'm going to get on an airplane. And it's just going to be gorgeous for a whole week.
Yeah, that's fine.
I want to tell you about the other email I got. It wasn't an email. It was a comment on one of our Instagram posts.
Uh-huh.
And this guy was like, hey, contact me if you want to get the blue check, if you want to get your account verified.
Okay.
And I was like, you bet I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So I went to his page and he's not verified. He only has like 100 people. And I was like, geez, Louise. But we're like officially getting spam. It's kind of fun. Like we get like these really spammy sort of things. So
that's a fun thing.
Well, it means people care. It means people care enough to spam you.
Sure. Whatever floats your boat there, buddy. Did you have something in particular you wanted to talk about?
I could. I always got something, but you said that you had
the thing that we were talking about right before we hit record was you were saying, I have this business coach and I now have a swim coach and I met yesterday with my clinical supervisor.
Because I don't know anything about business and you don't know anything about swimming.
Swimming. That is right. And for those of you who are invested in the Ironman training, it's going really, really well. Just so you know, I am following through, which is something that I do not do very often. I say I'm going to start something and then I never finish it, which we've all been on that journey with me and heard of the many things that I have started that I haven't finished. But
hey,
it's going well.
For real, when you're doing your swimming coaching, are you in a pool?
Yes.
Okay. You're Ironman. That's not going to be in a pool, right? That's going to be in open water.
That is correct. Yeah. It'll be in a lake. Okay.
I want to tell you something.
Okay.
Your swim coach needs to teach you how to swim.
In open water.
But he also needs to teach you how to look where you're going.
Okay. Why is it a man?
Well, it's a she. Okay.
You
she just, needs it.
Yeah, that's you cool. gendered my, okay.
Is it a man?
Look where, it, no, it's a female.
Okay, great.
She goes,
she needs to tell you how to like sight in the, like look for things. Because you don't have a black line on the bottom of your open water swim that tells you.
I don't even look at my black line. That's the problem with my swimming at the moment is that my face is not down. If you're a swimmer, apparently that's important to keep your face down. Which, you are a swimmer.
Honey. Oh, honey.
I know. But my neck is sort of, because I'm always looking ahead because when I'm in a pool, I'm with four other women and we're sharing a lane. I'm a missionary. Yeah.
Always looking up, always looking ahead.
I always.
Got my eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
Shoot for the moon. No, seriously, though, if you don't know how to swim in a straight line in open water, you're going to be in big trouble. So
I don't.
Just add that into your repertoire right now.
Yeah. Did I tell you about the sight impaired swimmer participants in the Ironman? There were two groups of two duos, and both were sight impaired. And so they were tethered together when they were swimming. And I think you told a story. Didn't you once tell a story about this couple that came out of the water and they were rolling around and having such a great time? And it turns out that he couldn't see and she was his lead and they were married for a lifetime. Is this a story I'm making up that you didn't share with me?
It's a very good story. I don't remember telling you this story.
Oh.
I do remember telling you about the Body Keeps the Score, but I don't remember this made up story about the lovers that came out of the water.
The lovers that came out of the water together.
She was a mermaid and he was.
Yeah. I don't remember where I heard the story. Maybe it was like a John Gottman story at some point that he shared and I just picked it up, put it in my pocket. And now I say it, it's my story. But during the Ironman, they had two groups. And so they go off and they let them go together and they do all three events together. Mm-hmm. And one is the lead and the other person is blind. And it was really incredible to see how they participate together. I'm like, if they can do it without being able to see, by golly, Laura Heck, you better be able to do it too. Just saying.
It reminds me of the couple I had where people come in and they tell me about how they want to work on their communication. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that means nothing to me. I did have a couple where she was deaf and he was blind.
I've heard this story. Huh? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I always go, they had trouble with the communication.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
But the reason I say that is because people people need to understand what do they mean when they say we're having trouble with communication? Like, are they, they're not speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. They're not blind and deaf usually.
Totally.
I mean, maybe metaphorically they're speaking different languages, but I do think you have to ask people to drill down and sort of talk about, like, what exactly are you talking about when you talk about we're struggling with communication?
Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's me, Zach, coming at you today to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Fabric, which is offering life insurance. I know it's the middle of summer, it's amazing here in Seattle, and the last thing that you want to do is think about life insurance, but hear me out, especially for the parents out there. Fabric has incredible term life insurance policies that can be customized to your family, and you can be up and running in just 10 minutes. I did it the other day, it took me literally 10 minutes, and it could not have been easier. Then, once you're up and running, you can enjoy your summer worry-free, because your family will be protected. Fabric was built by parents for parents to help make it easier to manage your family's finances. It's all online and everything's on your schedule. You don't need to make time for phone calls or appointments, just apply when it's convenient for you. Again, I did it in 10 minutes and you can see your quote and personalize your quote to fit your family's needs. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Also, Fabric's new lower prices mean significant savings over other providers with great quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can cancel at any time. And its online hub lets you handle your family's finances all in one place and not just life insurance. I noticed on there that you could create a will, you could start your kids' college savings plan, and even set up a rainy day savings fund. Protect your family's financial future with Fabric. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/MTR. That's meetfabric.com/MTR. meetfabric.com/MTR. Fabric insurance agency policies are issued by Vantis Life. They're not available in New York and Montana, and prices are subject to underwriting and health questions. So I think that's it. It's still summer here in Seattle. I'm going to go out and enjoy it. You should too.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
All right, let's go down that path for a second. I mean, I had all sorts of... Okay, so yeah, I'm going to throw out a couple of things that come to mind when couples come in and they say, I'm having trouble with communication. One issue that I'm seeing a lot of, and maybe we can focus just on that, is she says something and I immediately need to correct her because it's not true. And I'm like, why? What do we... So they're fighting over facts. And they get caught up in the factual information of, well, she said this thing and it's not true. And so I'm going to immediately jump in and just correct her because it's not accurate or true. And they never feel heard or understood because now they're so focused on who's right and who's wrong. That one seems to be just catching people up all the time.
Yeah. And it's misdirection, right? It's a magic trick. It's, hey, look over here because this is the, and I'm going to debate facts with you way over here, but it's not actually what's really happening. I had the same conversation with a guy yesterday and he, we were talking about it and I was like, look, dude, there's two things. Like, there's actually two things. One is you might be right. She might be factually incorrect.
Inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. She might be crazy, lying, drunk.
Yeah.
There are a lot that might be actually true. She's also trying to tell you how she feels.
Yeah.
And you can't talk about the first one until you address the second one.
Yeah.
You know, the phrase I use a lot for guys in particular, as I go, you almost have to think of it like you have to earn the right to have your point of view. Even if your point of view is right, you still have to earn the business. You know, guys who are in sales, they sort of know this. Like, I know I have the better product. You still have to earn the business. You still have to earn the pitch.
Earn the pitch. I had that experience actually, and I'll keep this broad enough, but I had that experience talking to my dad this weekend and he was about to do something that stretched him. And I think sitting and listening to somebody's point of view that is 100% opposite of your point of view stretches you. And I said, but why? Why are you going to do that? Why are you going to make this extra effort and doing something that's uncomfortable for you? And he said, because I have to earn the right to be heard. And I was like, oh, he gets it. you have to give a little to your partner in order to earn the right to express a difference of opinion and totally. Be heard, right? Like if you're going to ask to be heard, you have to earn it by hearing your partner first. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
What else? I mean, if we're going down this pathway of when couples come in and they say we're struggling with communication, what are some other pitfalls that couples are coming in and they're saying, this is where I'm struggling?
Well, you know, I think, okay, so let's call it number one. Number one is you get hung up on facts.
Right.
Right. And so number one is a problem, which means you have to suspend your need to be factually correct long mm-hmm. enough to make sure you're connected to your partner. And that may take, this guy literally, he was like, I don't really know how to do that because I feel like I'm battling between right and wrong.
Right.
And I was like, you know, there's a lot of landscape between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I've never thought about that before. Or you might have a good point, or I can see that you're really upset, mm-hmm. or man, this is very important to you. I mean, there's a lot that you can sort of say that helps you sort of make the connection before you then argue your point of view.
Mm-hmm. And get a little bit of time and space. Yeah. I have pointed couples back a lot to the episode where I think it's titled like Zach and Laura have beef or air their beef.
Yeah. We hash
whatever.
It out or something.
Hash it. That's what it is. Beef and hash. They're both like, now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But I've pointed folks back because it's a really beautiful description or you can see factually, I was not correct, right? Uh-huh. Like I was coming to you and saying, Zach, here was my experience. And factually, it was incorrect. It was my point of view, my perspective, and it was actually inaccurate. Uh-huh. But you didn't argue with what was right and what was wrong. You attended to, oh man, something's going on here. You're having a feeling, an emotion. Uh-huh. And I'm going to sort of, I don't know, like put the facts over here long enough for me to attend to your feelings. And that is where, if you haven't listened to the episode yet, go back and listen to it because I think I'll toot your horn, which I've been doing a lot lately. I think I'm evolving as a human being. I'm just letting you know. There's something new about me where I'm a little more gentle and a little more kind. Yeah. To you, at least. Right now, I'm reading Atomic Habits, and I've been thinking a lot about the daily habits that I have created over time that are either helping me or hurting me. I've been super intentional about passing on these healthy habits to my kiddo. One daily habit that's been super easy for Holden to maintain has been taking his Hiya chewable vitamins every morning before breakfast. Habits are easy to keep when they're rewarding, and for a 7-year-old, the reward is that yummy flavor of his chewy vitamin. It probably feels more like a treat than anything, but for a mom, the reward is knowing that I'm giving my kiddo a pediatrician-approved, super powerful vitamin that fills in most common gaps in children's diets with a blend of 12 organic fruits, veggies, and over 15 essential vitamins and minerals. Hiya is non-GMO, non-dairy, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and free of all those added sugars and gummy junk that other kid multivitamins come with. I've also been in the habit of trying to cut down on excess waste, and that's what I love about Hiya. They send you a reusable bottle that your kiddo gets to decorate and refill with replacement vitamins, sans the additional wasteful packaging. We've worked out a deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You receive 50% off of your first order. To claim your deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/MTR. That's Hiya, H-I-Y-A, health. HEALTH.com/MTR to receive 50% off of your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What else are we on? We're on number two. So what would you say is another common communication issue couples are coming in with?
It's complaining, right? Mm. And this is what I mean by this. I will listen to people in my office, and I think I've told you this, and I realize they're just complaining. And I'm like, wait, what is, like, I'm so bored. Generally, I get really bored. But when I get bored, it makes me go, okay, well, how can I get curious? And so what I start to do is go, wait a second. What is, what are you asking for?
Okay.
Right? People complain because they want things to be different.
They want something to be different. They want it to be better.
That right? is why they complain. People go, ah, the dishwasher didn't get run last night. That's a complaint.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. The reason I'm saying that is because I really wish I had clean dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sometimes they'll say, you didn't run the dishwasher again. You never run the dishwasher. That's a criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So for me, I have this ladder in my head. When I hear people complain, I'm listening for, do they go up the ladder, which is to criticism?
Mm-hmm.
Or can we bring them down the ladder, which is to a question? Right. Okay. So the ladder is criticism, complaint, question.
Okay.
So I think part of what could
couldn't
be really
find
helpful,
another C to go in with that.
I like the I mean, I got the K in there.
You got the K sound.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's not fully evolved and created yet. You need a third C.
But it is a question. I do think that this is what I think people, when we get caught up in the complaint, like, oh, we're just complaining, or oh, they're this, that, and the other thing, or there's just this like litany perhaps of discontent.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good communication skill is to learn how to say, are you trying to ask me for something?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you're trying to ask me for? Because if you ask me for the thing, I can try and help you with the thing.
Yeah.
You know, or mm-hmm. the complainer, frankly, can learn to shift their complaint toward the question, right? Hey, listen, I'm pretty bummed that the dishwasher didn't get run. It's actually been like mm-hmm. 4 or 5 nights in a row. I don't know whose responsibility it is, but can you, since you're up last, mm-hmm. could you please run the dishwasher? And so that we can have dishes in the morning.
Hmm. This is sort of tickling on what I announced as my pet peeve this week.
Okay.
I even said it to my son. I said, honey, I want to tell you a little bit about mom today. I have a pet peeve. And this is what I do when I am lonely and I haven't seen my husband for a while. I talk to my child,
yeah.
my 7-year-old, as if he's my, yeah. So I said, my pet peeve is when people have complaints, but they don't do anything about it. That was what I said to him. And he said, well, what do you mean?
We call that problems without solutions in our house.
Mm-hmm. He said, well, what do you mean, mom? And I said, well, if somebody says, I hate like the way that my clothes fit. It's just driving me nuts. Like nothing fits in my closet anymore. And they have been saying that complaint to me for 3 years. I'm like, well, what the hell are you doing to actually like, make a solution, come up with a solution, do something about it. I get really sick and tired of people complaining without making an effort or a change towards solution. And yeah. so what I hear you saying is complaining is cool, but would be really helpful is if there was some kind of a request in there as well. Like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but dishes in the sink drive me absolute bonkers. And here's how I would love to make a change. Yeah. I would love it if we could just make an effort before we go to bed to make sure that the dishes are in the dishwasher and that we run the dishwasher. That to me feels really good because I have this pet peeve.
Yeah,
general.
Right on. No, I'm into it. I think again, like I have said it a million times, not a million times, of course, but in my practice, I'm like, as far as you know, I'll say, as far as you know, Laura, are you asking for something specific? Is there something specific you're trying to ask for? Because then we can surface like what's really there. And, you know, it moves the thing forward. Like complaint, all it does is drive kind of, and criticism, of course, drives your issue into the ground. Mm-hmm. And I've said this a number of times, like, what if you guys tried to out ask each other or out serve each other or out bless mm-hmm. each other or out thank mm-hmm. each other? Like well, that mm-hmm. drives it all the way up.
Yeah.
And there's really no winner. Like nobody wins that one because we're both just kind of chuckling and happy that we are connected.
Yeah. I have to say this because I have had a lot of people, I don't know who decided that constructive criticism was a thing because I don't think that any criticism is constructive. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you're pointing out something in another person and saying not good enough, which to me is what a criticism is. You're mm-hmm. pointing out and you're just saying like, you're kind of a slob. You're sort of lazy. You're, you know, like a skimmer or a, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that one really got under my skin. I don't think there is anything constructive about criticism, but I think
if
that person has said, hey, you're my person and I give you permission to maybe point out when there's some blind spots, like I might be anxious and trying to control our environment. And I would really love it if you could gently point these things out to me so I can grow as a human being and I'm not impacting you negatively. To me, that is, I've given you permission to point flaws out in me that it might be a blind spot. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything constructive about criticizing your partner.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say is you're talking about, I think the time for anything that we might call criticism has to come with permission, mm-hmm. right? It has to come with an invitation. That's probably, if I was thinking about a number three for sort of communication, I would put, we did a whole episode on it, but sort of the idea of consent in there.
Yeah.
Like you have to, and for me, it can be as simple as, is now a good time? Is now a good mm-hmm. time for us to argue or to meet, for me to surface a problem or for us to pause? Is now mm-hmm. a good time for us to not fight, you know? And consent, of course, is a big topic when it comes to sex and intimacy. Obviously, like if you are trying to have sex without consent, that's problematic. I think that same thing is true for conversations of weight. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to have a conversation of weight, mm-hmm. or if you're trying to communicate something important and you don't have consent, it can feel assaultive to try and do that, you know?
Okay. I love that. I'm going to tease that out a little bit, because what I see is one partner who gets overwhelmed and they say, I cannot talk about this anymore tonight. I am done. I am at my limit. We need to just put this on pause. And what they're saying is no more. And the partner will steamroll and will say, you don't get to say no. You don't get to stop the conversation. You had your piece. You had your say. Now it's my turn, my opportunity to share with you how I feel. And I'm about ready to unleash what Terry Real says, unbridled self-expression on you. Mm-hmm. And they're putting up their hands. They're saying no more. That's consent, right? Mm-hmm. Like consent in that relationship is when one of us waves the white flag and says, I can't handle this anymore. I'm at my limit. Consent is saying, okay, it's honoring that boundary that you're establishing. Mm-hmm. I cannot be in conversation with you anymore. And I find that a lot of partners, that's where they're getting stuck. Is one partner says, I'm done. And the other partner says, you don't get to say when we're done. Mm-hmm. Two, it takes two to agree on when we're done. Actually, it takes one. When one partner mm-hmm. says, I'm done, you got to be done.
Well, and though I would shift the responsibility to that partner to say, I promise we can come back to this.
Yeah.
I promise that you will have a turn. Mm-hmm. It needs to be in at least 20 minutes, not more than 24 hours, but it needs to be after I'm ready to hear what you have to say, or I'm able to hear what you have to say.
Yes, it's able, right? You know? Yeah. And I think a lot of people think it's a control issue, and it could be potentially. When we talk about stonewalling, it's shutting your partner out, disengaging from the conversation while physically present. But if you are physically saying to your partner, I'm tapped out, I need to go to bed. I need to leave the house. I need to go for a walk. I can't hear you right now, whatever that might be. To me, that is not stonewalling. That is what I would teach anyone. Use your words to communicate to your partner that I'm done. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with capacity to hear you. Mm-hmm. And there's no point in talking at your partner if they can't hear you from the get-go.
Hey, I wanted to say something, which is you're close to this stat that we heard from Terry a few weeks ago, this idea that the body scans itself to see if it's safe four times a minute or second. And I thought it was a minute and you thought it was a second, and you were right.
It was four times a second.
And I'm wrong. And I just wanted to acknowledge that publicly here say you were correct.
Thank you.
And it actually blew my mind, because I was willing to, my brain could actually compensate four times a minute. I could sort of go, oh yeah, sure. Sort of slowly doing this thing where you're trying to make sure that you're okay. And, but thinking about four times a second made me realize that it doesn't take, it makes sense now that things might not take anything at all to get you set off, that you can go from 0 to 60 literally in the span of a second. Like that was sort of like, oh gosh, yeah, I guess that makes sense that you could just immediately go from safe to unsafe. It didn't have to take 15 seconds. It could take, you know.
And it might have nothing to do with your partner, right?
Like totally.
If you're constantly scanning, and it is this subconscious scanning of your environment, whether or not you're safe or unsafe, that is human nature that keeps us alive. And we're forever grateful for it. But sometimes we can be keyed up and hypervigilant. And also there might be things in our environment that we're not even aware of that serve as these cues that say you're in danger. And it could be, well, I mean, I was just talking to a girlfriend yesterday, and she said anytime she gets a whiff of alcohol, it could be on spilled on the floor. Like, you know what it smells like when somebody spilled beer on like a sidewalk, you know, at a ball game or something, you get a whiff of it. That is a 100% a cue, and immediately her body starts to go into this sense of survival tactic, right? It could be the scent of urine. And like the smell of urine on the sidewalk, something like that. Like growing up in a neighborhood that, for me, I grew up in a neighborhood that was probably not very safe. And there were a lot of smells like that because we had a lot of homeless people living kind of around us. And that can sometimes send me into a trigger, basically, is I'm currently safe, but it's sending me to a place where I didn't feel safe back then. Mm-hmm. My body doesn't know the difference, of whether or not I'm safe on this sidewalk or whether or not it just makes me feel my body reacts to that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So number one would be,
right or
earning
wrong.
The right to sort of make your point. Dealing first with the feeling that's present without addressing the facts.
Yes. It's getting caught up in trying to battle your partner and whether or not what they're saying is true and you're right. And instead just pausing and saying the facts don't matter, but first I need to attend to my partner's feelings about what's going
first,
on.
First, feelings.
Ooh.
Finally, facts. No, but seriously, that feels like number one, right? Number two, yeah. We talked about was if you're a person who's prone to complaint, or let's just say you're a person and you want something to be different. Mm-hmm. We need to stay as close as possible to the question, to the ask, to the thing you actually need or want. Mm-hmm. And for me, again, the complaint is a clue. Hearing people complain is when I begin to check out. I begin to sort of stop caring. And part of that is, I just kind of don't have maybe a built-in tolerance for problems without solutions. But part of it again is I take it from me, from us, people out there in radio. Like I've sat in enough rooms with people who are just complaining, and I promise you, the thing you're complaining out isn't the thing. The thing is the thing you want, the thing you need, and that's the thing we need to learn how to ask for. And of course, avoid criticism like the plague. Without number three, which is we talked about consent, like when there's. Mm-hmm. Consent, when you have permission, is now a good time. Mm-hmm. You can do consequences that have, I'm sorry, you can do conversations that have merit or weight or, that are a little bit more important, but you can't do that when someone is, crawling into bed or, half paying attention or still in work mode or is flooded, like you're describing, like they may be dealing with ghosts, triggers from their past that
totally
aren't even that big a deal. They're just keeping them from being able to be fully present and fully connected to the conversation. It might just be the fact that you walked by a brew pub and now I'm trying to figure out whether or not I'm safe,
Yeah.
Even though the two of us haven't had anything at all to drink today. Like I'm still bothered by this, memory of a fraternity party I went to or whatever it is,
Yeah. Well, I think we pulled that one, a rabbit out of the hat, right? We came up with one, two, and three just right off the fly. You see how it is like when Zach and I just sit down and start talking, it just naturally comes, it evolves into what.
Well, I'm glad for it because I am definitely in like vacation mode. I still
Me
have
too.
Another day and a half of work. But my brain is like slowly shutting down, which is, it's a nice feeling. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to just reading for pleasure. By the way, if you are interested in.
Like a beach read? I need a beach read.
A what?
A beach read.
Oh, I got tons of those. Those are easy. But right now I'm totally obsessed with Station 11. Do you know this? Did we talk about
I've
Station
11?
I've
never heard 11? Of Station. No. Is it a firehouse? I like firemen.
It's a television show on HBO.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It's easily the best television watching experience I've had in the last year. Just in terms of like what I am thinking, like I think about it all the time. I cared about almost every single character. I was surprised. It was well done. There's one moment in the show that I think is in like the top five all time show watching experiences I've ever had. I feel like if I think back, like what are some important TV moments for me? This is on the list for sure. But it's written by a woman. The novel is a book called Station 11. It's written by a woman named Emily St. John Mandel. And I want to read everything she's ever written. So if you're looking for a beach read, she's
an author first and then they picked up the script.
Yeah. Then they took Station 11, they turned it into a show, which is fantastic.
Cool.
But yeah, if you want to just read, she's perfect in terms of the stuff I like because her plots are novel and original and you can't quite see what's coming, but also she's literary. There's a lot of like, she really loves words. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's my little pitch for if you need something to watch or read.
And this not, she did not sponsor this episode.
She did not. Yeah.
Nope.
We don't actually have any idea. I mean, I don't know who did.
Let's go ahead and land this plane, which, by the way, the gal that I talked to on the phone that said, are you taking your Sprinter van? When we got off the phone, she goes, yeah, let's go ahead and land this plane. I'm like, oh my God, I love you so much. We are already best friends and she knows it. Okay, let's land this plane. Enjoy your vacation. I am also going on my 3-day vacation.
Thanks. Yeah, we're off next week and I'll see you. We'll see you when I see you.
We'll probably text next week. Let's be honest. Okay. All right. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. We mentioned 3 books and an author as some summer reads if you're interested. One of them is Atomic Habits. The second one is Body Keeps the Score. Those are 2 books that I am going to be reading for my book club. And then the third one that Zach mentioned is Station 11, and the author is Emily St. John Mendel. And so if you're looking for something to pick up and read, check those out. Go to your local bookstore. Or find a used copy somewhere. Thanks so much for all of your time and your attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.